Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate.
Now listen to this, I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopelessness, the need of food, the soul for God. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
And it's another Eco Night, so I'm going to set the theme. The enemy is here, and it is me. Edition of Soma Time as we attempt to get all of our technology in place in here. Wow, this is just one of those days. So, boy, I made it. September 1st. Barely. Look at this thing attacking me. I got issues with Napster. Anyway, welcome to the program. This is Dr. Mark, your Culture Vulture. Number to call to get into the show proper is always 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847. Tonight is going to be one of those nights. I'm just going to continue to vent. I'm not going to stop venting unless you interrupt me with a question or a tidbit of information. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. I'm going to take a little look at that now, but it is what it is out there. It's pretty ugly. So, first things first, we got some natural storms to take care of with this Hurricane Earl, you know, barreling up the East Coast. Let's take a look at that now, get the latest on that, because, you know, no matter what we do with all the things we're going to talk about tonight, these natural disasters, and there's been tons of them this year. You know, there's tons and tons of them are really starting to kind of stack up. And you know, we did some shows on the HAARP and how, you know, they've used the weather as a weapon and things like that. So let's see if we can get a little. Where is Hurricane Earl heading? A little weather.com update here to start us off on a Wednesday Eco Night. September 1st, we get double ecos. How often does that happen? All right, so let's see. We can get. All right. Looks like. Boy, you want to get a little weather dude to do something here. They got all kinds of maps on this weather.com. It's like a freaking potpourri here. Let's see if I go back to the homepage. I just want like a weather dude to give me an update. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Today's headlines. Stay tuned for continuous coverage of Hurricane Earl. Let's see. Because usually they have like video for me to play. It looks like Hurricane Earl has a rather large wind field. Little known fact about Hurricane Earl, taking a more northerly route. So it's the images are fantastic. But see if I can let's go to Hurricane Central. See if they got a video for me there. I just want to play a little weather. A little stormy weather. Oh, here we go, video. Boy, you really got to dig on this weather.com to get a little noise out of you. This is the radio, boys. Can I get a little voice? All right. It's about the fifth page I've been to on weather.com. Navigate this, they say. All right, here it comes. Coming up the coast Thursday and Friday. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a commercial here. Oh, here we go. Ooh, I love this tropical update. Here we go.
You watch these things for a long time. You see it jog to the north in one, and it goes for a couple, and then it goes back. But now we've had a few, and look at the two things on this satellite imagery. You see in the last maybe three images a little turn to the right, and of course that's what we've been waiting for to happen. It looks like it'll kind of maybe ease a little bit and then make a sharp turn. It's got to make a sharp turn where it's still going to run into the coast there, and we're not certain exactly how sharp it's going to be, of course. The other thing is look at the satellite presentation around the eye. It's kind of ragged, ragged, ragged. Now it's perfectly circular, so when the hurricane hunters go out there and report in, I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to report in even a stronger hurricane than this 135-mile-an-hour one we have now. There are the numbers, 135. They're moving to the northwest at 17 and maybe edging toward north-northwest here over the next few hours. We'll see if this trend to turn around the high-pressure system we've been talking about is happening or if it's just a little bit of a lean. You just don't know until it happens really exactly what has happened. Let's hold off on Earl for a second because I want to talk about what else is going on with Fiona and Gaston and the next system out there, which will probably be Hermine. The Atlantic is really lit up. Now, first of all, Fiona is not going to develop anymore. In fact, it's moving away from the islands, brought some tropical storm force winds to that area today. That's not going to be an issue. Gaston, on the other hand, is forecast by the National Hurricane Center to be a hurricane in the next 5 days, moving off generally to the west-northwest and is expected to be in the vicinity of the northern Leeward Islands about the middle of next week. Plenty of time to watch that, but that's another one of these following on the heels of Danielle and Earl. Will it turn early? We just don't know yet. Now, how about the water? The water this year is record warm across the Atlantic, of course, and the 80-degree line, 80 degrees Fahrenheit, is about the temperature that tropical systems require in order to maintain their strength and to really operate efficiently. And look where that is. That line is right at the Delmarva Peninsula, and Atlantic City, it's 79 degrees in the ocean of Atlantic City. And look, all the way up here, 71 degrees, exceptionally warm water going all the way up the coast. So the fact is this storm is expected to maintain significant strength. The only question really is, how close to the coast is it going to be?
All right, there you go.
Future path of Hurricane Earl.
I'm sick of this already. All right, there's our 135-mile-an-hour winds coming to your doorstep here. If you're on the Eastern Corridor, it could be a big deal. They don't know. I love being a weatherman. You know, I haven't been a clinician for 19 years, and I'll take that title loosely. People always ask, am I going to get better, Doc? They never ask the weatherman that because they're always basically, if they're wrong, if they forecast something happening that's going to be bad, no one cares. It's only when they're put out that it's going to be okay, and then they get nailed, that everybody wants to kill them. But what a job! I mean, just a bunch of hacks up there looking at the data and tracking, and then they go, "We don't know." So it's coming up the East Coast, 135-mile-an-hour winds. Should be nice traffic on the holidays for the East End of Long Island and the Cape. So there you are. They are with your Earl, all right? Now, let's get back to the ground. Down on the ground, we have our wonderful friends at the CDC. And they're sitting around, probably laughing at us, is what they do. I just picture the CDC as a bunch of guys in a back room in Atlanta. As by the way, the Braves lead the Mets 4-0 here in the seventh inning. A vomitous performance by the New York Mets. And the last 3 days, they should just fire everybody. But that great city of Atlanta that gives us these Braves and other things, is the home of the CDC, the center of disease cheerleading. That's right. And, wow, this just in. I got something to do. I got lots of stuff to report on tonight. You know, this is their high time of the year because they have, in effect, made a sort of a bridge between the public school system and your vaccine record, right? And so they make it a big issue every year about exemptions and things like that. And, of course, now with the scare campaign going on for the swine fear, it's back. And the press around the world on, remember last year and the crap they pulled and how nobody went out and got the shot and they were very angry and then they put a bunch of shots in Atlanta, by the way, right by the CDC, almost a million of them that had absolutely no vaccine in them, but they were sticking them in people's arms. It was like a controlled, accidental, on purpose kind of a placebo experiment, right? And then the great Tamiflu scare, you know, that the Tamiflu basically was, the research was shoddy. And anyway, we're the quacks. They're the authority, so let's not question anything. So it's sort of a potpourri here. This just did, I was going to Natural News for something else, but this is just fine. Our buddy over there, Health Ranger, Mike Adams, has been reporting on a lot of this stuff. And here's Ethan Huff. It's just in. I mean, I was going to go with the Australia route, but we'll go this route, as my computer does what it does. The horrors caused by Merck and Company Gardasil vaccine and GlaxoSmithKline's GSC Cervix vaccine continue as six young girls recently died from shots during an experimental Indian trial. Dead. The two human papillomavirus vaccines have been implicated in at least 67 deaths in the U.S., prompting no response from U.S. officials, other than keep pushing it on the public. But the six deaths is not swine flu. This is the next wave, the Gardasil. But the six deaths in India have prompted the government there to stop all the vaccine trials. See, other countries, when someone drops dead of one of these things, they stop it. Our country, no, that's not enough. Two imported brands of the human papillomavirus vaccines, namely Gardasil and Cervix, were allowed to undergo trial in phase two in India before being granted permission to be imported for market authorization. And, of course, the deaths, all the states stopped vaccinating immediately. So there's India. This is amazing. It's amazing that they get a second chance at some of this stuff. You know, they've been after all the natural approaches, you know, for a while. And, I mean, how long ago it was. The great tryptophan scare of the late 80s comes to mind. You know, where they kept the bad batch of tryptophan, an amino acid that's like readily available in almost every food you eat, and four people died of I don't know what it was technically, but I guess the tryptophan took the rap, and that was the end of that. It's just amazing. But anyway, Mike Adams is a quite accomplished guy. What is with this message from webpage hell? He's got a lot of stuff on here. About his work with the vaccine zombie, which is it sort of just kind of sums up my thoughts, actually. And I have the lyrics here, so I'll read them first, and then we'll go over them after the song's over. Right? All right. So just picture yourself with your kid. You got to get your kid into school, and you got to go through this crap every year. So you're standing in line for the vaccine shot. Hope I get mine, because believe it or not, I think I might die unless I take what they got. My brain's too fried, so I give no thought. Because the FDA said it's safe for me. The drug companies claim it's made for me. And the government, they're going to pay for me. It's not too late for me, is it? Now it's my turn to be injected. They say it's going to hurt, but I'll be protected. When they give the word, I do as I'm directed. I'm not the kind of person to do something unexpected. I do everything the doctors tell me. Swallow all those pills they sell me. I'm afraid the germs might kill me. Vaccine zombie, zombie. And it goes on like that. So, rather than me butcher the song, let's let Mike rap his way into your hearts. Toe tapping. Anti-allopathic music. Can't get enough of it. Vaccine zombie. Here on Summertime as we make the transition. Let's see if we can do this without butchering it too bad. All right. Here we go. Extreme, which is pretty extreme, to an even further extreme as we go deeper into the allopathic forest. Anybody out there? I'm going to open up the chat room, see if I'm getting any death threats yet, because sometimes our friends at the CDC like to listen to this show and give me all kinds of vile comments. So we'll see if they're over there. I haven't opened the chat room yet. If you're over there, the chat room is open. Go to the site. And you can just pop in the chat room any questions. I'll be happy to take them on. So far, I'm alone in there. Let's see. I'll leave it up there. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm at the point now with a lot of this garbage that you just sort of expect them to do the wrong thing. and expect Big Pharma to just roll over you sheep, because no one ever says boo to them. Everybody's afraid. Everybody's scared. Look at that. Two outs. All right. So, a further example. Now, we just talked about the India one. Australia banned the H1N1 vaccine because it was causing neurological problems in the kids. Finland banned it. I got a little article I'm going to read to you about that. Same reason. I mean, they started seeing problems, and they did something about it. But our country, no. We're fine with it. We're perfectly fine with it. It's amazing that this goes on, and it's, like, so ordinary. That's what gets me nuts. Nobody cares. You guys are all sheep. Now, remember last week we were talking about how we're in future shock, where we've played out the zombie scenario is played out in movies and stuff, but, you know, the whole idea of a virus spreading and everybody becomes, you know, kind of the living dead. We've played that out in entertainment for, got to be going on 25, 30 years now, Day of the Dead, all that stuff. So it wouldn't surprise us. It wouldn't cause a riot in the street if it happened. People would be like, yeah, I saw it in a movie. And because of that sort of rehearsal, that sort of social conditioning, they primed us for it. So same thing goes with conspiracy theories and all the other stuff. Anytime someone says something that isn't part of that bell curve wisdom, they're a lone nut. They're a wacko. So they get pushed off to the side. They're fringe players, and you get to ignore them. Now, when it keeps happening, you know, at what point does Chicken Little actually have some credibility here? So one of the perfect examples of that is Alex Jones, who I don't agree with everything he says, but sometimes he barks up the right tree. And now this goes a little further than just the swine flu, but the actual sort of, you know, Illuminati backroom kind of planning that goes on behind it, that's the same stuff that David Goodman was talking about with us last week, by the way. That, you know, the New Age movement is really a front to get people to be passive so they won't respond, to make actually opposing this stuff, you know, vigilantly, you know, sort of against your belief system because you're told, no, namaste, everybody's good. And meanwhile, they're kicking your ass. So here's 8 minutes of Alex. I don't know how long I'll play it, but he's talking about the vaccine death cover-up. That's the clip on YouTube. So I'm going to play a little of this. Alex Jones talking about mercury filling and vaccines and such things, and why the government is behind it and basically tacitly involved. Alex Jones.
My friends, we've got a chance this year to save a lot of lives. The good news is we went public last year with millions of other truth tellers and pointed out that the vaccine insert for the H1N1 flu shot admitted that it could cause neurological disorders, Guillain-Barre's, you name it, and people actually went out and read the vaccine insert instead of believing the corporate media paid off by Big Pharma to lie to you. Since then, the head of the EU Commission, Wolfgang Wudarg, medical doctor, has come out and said that they found all the evidence showing that vaccine makers had paid off politicians in Europe and the United States to hype this dangerous vaccine and that it had serious health ramifications. The British Medical Journal has come out with a major report. I've interviewed the editor of the journal saying, yes, you know, clearly this was hype to sell vaccines. Since then, the British government has had to suspend giving the H1N1 shot to under 5-year-olds, admitting that it caused a 10-fold increase in violent convulsions in children. The government of Finland has come out and said it's causing all sorts of neurological disorders, like narcolepsy. All over the world, people are waking up. Also, last year, we saw a record low numbers of people taking the regular seasonal shot and the H1N1. So now they're combining both the shots together. And because we had record low numbers of people taking the vaccines worldwide, we had a record low flu season. Because the real studies show that it's the flu vaccine in most cases that's causing the flu. You've seen the anecdotal evidence of your friends and family or yourself saying, yeah, I never got the flu. I took the flu shot. It almost killed me. Same thing happened to my mother. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the United Nations documents. We have the Rockefeller Foundation documents from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and right through, admitting they developed vaccines for flu or tetanus, where they add chemicals and hormones that reduce your fertility or sterilize you. They admit they're doing this. So it's not that there couldn't be a clean, safe vaccine developed. I'm not arguing about that science. The point is they've been caught spiking vaccines all over the world as part of these United Nations World Health Organization programs for covert sterilization, and we even have the Rockefeller Foundation documents. This is even mainstream news now. But on top of all of that, 90-plus percent of the vaccines that we're using here in the United States and Europe are made in China. China was a signatory to the one-child policy. They were a signatory to the United Nations agreements to use food and medicine as weapons to forcibly reduce their population. They're the folks that give you melamine-tainted milk and bisphenol A-coated plastics. I mean, this is a nightmare situation. So the globalists have contracted with these dehumanizing tyrants to produce not just our vaccines, but most of our medicines. This is so horrifying, and I know it's hard for people to be able to admit this to themselves, but if you'll just go research the facts, it's all there. And the good news is record numbers of people are refusing to take the vaccines, and record numbers of people are reading the literature and finding out how deadly this is, and government after government after government, from England to Australia, from Finland to India, is having to totally suspend or restrict giving these shots because people now understand how dangerous it is because there's such a wide swath of death and destruction in its wake. We're starting to win. We're starting to have an effect. And that's why the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has given money to Monsanto and others to come up with pharmacological crops that grow the vaccine inside of the food so there's no way for you to escape it. That's why Bill Gates is looking at releasing genetically engineered mosquitoes to, quote, inoculate you.
There's new drug discovery going on. Our foundation has backed a vaccine that's going into phase 3 trial that starts in a couple months.
Literally releasing bugs that come out and inject you with these things. They're not playing games. They want to force you to go under this eugenic system. Every time the global elite meet and they set up these philanthropic organizations, all they talk about is population control. This is what they're obsessed with. They don't like going to the Grand Canyon and seeing big crowds. They want all the science and technology for themselves, not for the general population. It's the ultimate form of greed and envy and control. It's a scorched earth policy of total monopoly over humanity. You are being slowly killed. Cancers are off the charts. Every other form of degenerative disease is off the charts. And they know that the vaccines, the sodium fluoride, the bisphenol A, and all of these chemicals are doing it. And we have their own documents admitting it. So in closing, warn everyone you know. Send them the vaccine inserts, they're online, where it says it can cause cancer, where it says it can cause neurological disorders, where it admits that it's even caused deaths. Send them all the mainstream news articles that we're going to link below, where major governments are having to suspend the shots because it's causing so much carnage. And warn them that the regular seasonal flu shots this year are going to have this H1N1 and whatever else they're adding to it. Warn everyone you know. This is incredibly serious. Bayer Pharmaceutical admitted in court that for over a decade they knowingly sent out factor 8 blood product to hemophiliacs, knowing it was a death sentence of hepatitis and HIV. They did it cold-bloodedly as part of a eugenics program. The crimes of Big Pharma are legion, and they need to be prosecuted. They need to be brought to justice, but there's a revolving door between Big Pharma, GMO, and the government. Almost every major federal regulator, not just here, but in every other major country, is a former alumni of these companies who own stock. And then they leave the government and go back into those companies and move up that ladder of power for selling out their fellow humans. This is part of the eugenics agenda. And when you see car washes getting IRS visits over 4 cents of unpaid money, you understand that the system has its investigators going after petty stuff like Roger Clemens. So what if he reportedly did steroids? He supposedly lied to Congress? That's not good. Using steroids isn't good. But compared to the former Treasury Secretary lying to Congress about where the bailout money went and later admitting it didn't go to the mortgages, that's trillions of dollars in taxpayer money. What about the millions of brain-damaged kids from all these vaccines. Why are we hearing about Roger Clemens? Why are we hearing about 4 cents of unpaid taxes at a car wash? Why are there investigators involved in this? Because it's ways to spend all the investigators' resources on petty things that get the government's name in the papers to make it look like they're tracking down crime when they are the main source and progenitor of the crime. Expose the vaccines. To learn more about this and other vital topics, visit InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. When you're on the site, you can also tune in 24 hours a day to my daily radio broadcast or subscribe to the free podcast at InfoWars.com.
All right, you Sam Kinison sound and hope, Jesus, you want to slit your wrist listening to that. All right, let's get to our guest here because we need to chunk this thing up. First of all, Batman.
You filthy criminies.
It's all over your asses now. All right, I don't have an old Canada song here, so I guess I'll have to opt for this.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
All right, joining us now from Montreal in the province of Quebec, Canada. Let me see if I got his name right here. Is he on the air? There he goes. Is over there? Nicholas Dupuis. Is that the way you say it?
Oh.
Did you get it?
Very good, very good.
All right, yeah.
Nice accent.
Hey, well, I played hockey for, 14 years of my life, so I did meet a lot of Canadians who mispronounced everything I said. So it was a mutual glitch there. But, welcome to Soma Time, and I don't know if you listened in a little of that diatribe there from Mr. InfoWars there. Where do you guys, Canada kind of flies under the radar when it comes to this stuff. So when you hear on Alex Jones or you hear a report about what's going on in other countries, is it because Canada is so, everything is so kind of local and everything is sort of kind of dampened down that there is no kind of outrage in the streets about these things, or is it because of the single-payer system that everybody just kind of goes along with the flow up there? You don't see as much public, sort of outrage about stuff. They just kind of get in their car and go over the line and, you know, get what they need and go back home, it seems like, anyway.
Well, it seems like last fall, the H1N1 thing, like, was massive in Canada. And mm-hmm. It ended up being, like, they scared the population so badly that they had to come back on what they said previously because it was becoming, like, a... Like, the fear among the population was so big that, you know, people would almost fight over their spots, you know, to get vaccinated. And they ended up, you know, saying, listen, don't worry about it. It's just flu. Really, it's not that bad. So basically they had to come back on, you know, what they had said previously. And that's been my point since day one. I mean, you know, it's just flu. I mean, I never died of flu. Why would you? You know, why would this type, you know, be so dangerous for you? So in the end, I think it's all a question of money. You know, if a company, people don't seem to realize that pharmaceutical companies are exactly like tire companies. Tire companies sell tires. Pharmaceutical companies sell medication. They sell vaccines. They sell pills. They don't care about, you know, like if Bridgestone could invent, you know, like they have summer tires, they have winter tires, but if they had fall tires and if they had spring tires and they could have, you know, the means to make you believe that you need spring tires, trust me, they would, because they would need, you know, they would sell twice as many tires as they do already. So the pharmaceutical companies try to do as much as they can to sell pills, and fear is the major factor. If people are scared enough to think that their body's immune system is not strong enough to overcome, you know, whatever is your surroundings, well, there you go. They just won the battle, you know, and everybody's going to start getting vaccinated. And in Canada, in Quebec in particular, the government pays for a vaccination. So all you have to do is, not only don't you have to deal with like 7 million people, all you have to do is deal with one ministry. And when once they've said yes, then you've got yourself a contract for 7 million shots of a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
so,
is.
So money and fear.
And
sorry,
it's a cash cow for them. You know, United States last year we had 29 million people get the shot, and that was with a lot of counter information out in the public, so they didn't get. They thought they'd get a third of the population. They thought they'd get almost 100 million of us to get the shot, and they only got 29 million because of social media and people actually defying these attempts to coerce people into doing it. And the way they get us now is the schools. I don't know if they have that policy there. You're saying the government does it, but it's no shot, no school, and because now they've moved it from private health decisions to public health, in the interest of public health, you now become a public health hazard if you haven't gotten your vaccinations up to date. So it's even tougher to get exemptions down here. Certain states, you know, they used to allow for religious exemptions, philosophical exemptions, and now they've made even that a paper chase. So with this news, now you've got two kids dead in India from the Gardasil vaccine. You've got Finland and Australia banning the H1N1 vaccine. You've got this guy talking about how it's part of a eugenics program, a population control, that they're actually in cahoots with guys like Bill Gates to actually put the vaccine into insects and have them fly around and bite us. I mean, I don't know. I'm at the point now, I used to think the allopathic world was all about control. And in terms of, you know, that's their motto is the Center for Disease Control. They throw prevention in there like it's like not even part of the flag. But it's increasingly clear to me it's more about power because they're not controlling anything except where the money's flowing and where the ideas and where the information's flowing. And that's why, you know, getting someone like you on that's outside of the U.S. and can look at the doings down here, you know, from outside our system because we're still in transition, you know. You guys have a single-payer system where it's almost like when you watch a Michael Moore movie, you watch, you know, anything about Canada or Europe, oh, they've got the greatest system in the world. And meanwhile, you're dealing with populations that are 10%, 15% of our population. So we're letting another 31 million people into the waiting room very soon as the Health Care Reform Act takes place in the fall here. There's not enough providers for those kinds of services down here. So what we're trying to do on our side of the coin, on the vitalistic side of the coin, especially within, I would call it the fringe part of chiropractic, because the mainstream part of chiropractic is in the yellow pages, and they do seven danger signals, and they're mechanical, and they're very well, it's almost like they've been spayed. You know, they've had their gonads cut off, and they do what they're told, they take what they get, and they go home. And guys like you, and some of the guys I've interviewed, like from Australia, New Zealand, that are outlaws in a sense, they do their job, and their job is to do the exact opposite of what these clowns are doing.
Informing the population is our job.
Yeah.
The word doctor comes from has a Greek root, and the word doctor means to inform. The actual meaning is to teach, a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My job is not to heal anybody. I don't have that power. I cannot heal you. My job is to allow you, to give you the information for you to, once you're home, do whatever is required to maintain your, you know, innate intelligence, your God-given potential. You were born with the capacity to be 100% healthy and live to 120 years. Why is it that the United States, with all the money and all the means that you guys have, why is it that when you look at it like worldly, like worldwide, the United States are like 29th as far as health goes? You guys should be like up, like number one. Listen, we have vaccinations, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have the pills. I mean, you guys send pills to Africa. You're the one who make them. Why is it that the United States, with their massive vaccination to, like, you know, all over the country, they end up like 29th in the world health, like, rank? You know, if you had the Stanley Cup of health, I mean, you guys wouldn't even make the series. It's really bad. I mean, when you look at it, like, there are numbers that don't lie. For instance, when you vaccinate babies, you know, at 3 months, 6 months, you know, like the rubies vaccine, I can't remember, like the DPR, like the first vaccines that babies get at 3 months, they've noticed that in the 48 to 78 hours post-vaccination, babies will get nine times more crib death in the 48 to 72 hours post-vaccination than any time in any baby's life. I mean, if this is not statistically, you know, like, talking to you, what will? What is going to talk to you if something like that, a number as high as ninefold, nine times will you find babies dying in a crib death, like the famous crib death syndrome after vaccination?
Well, I guess
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And when you look at it, vaccination in its whole purpose is supposed to help who? I'll ask you a few questions. Let's say you play the game with me. For instance, you got two person. One has a very high immune system, the other one will have a low immune system. If you have only one vaccine, who will you give it to?
You give it to the stronger one because he can handle it.
You'll give it to the low immune system.
They will. Give it to the one that's depleted. But the thing is, what I'm getting at, I don't think there's any, and this guy actually kind of took the, Alex Jones kind of took the high road, that he wasn't attacking vaccines in an absolute value. I do. I think they basically, because of they're an outside in, a way of doing things, unless they're done more along the homeopathic type of things where they're done systemically, they leave a residue and they actually beat up the organization of the immune system. So the one that has the high immunity will reject it and not get toxic and internalized. The one that's low can't defend it, can't distinguish it, and actually it'll cause more miasmic problems. But that's sort of another way of looking at it, I guess.
If you're supposed to immunize somebody with a vaccine, then logically the person who has a strong immune system doesn't need to get vaccinated. Because that person already has a strong immune system. But the problem is, a vaccine will only help you if the actual toxin is strong enough to trigger an immune response in your body. If the person has a low immune system, you'll get them sick. They'll actually catch the disease with the vaccine. It's a very fine line here. Whereas the person with a strong immune system, they will have no reaction whatsoever, but they don't need to get vaccinated anyways. So it doesn't make sense.
For years, that's always been the logic that's lost on me with the with that whole side of the story when it comes to the school system is that, like, my kids haven't been vaccinated ever. And every once in a while, you'll meet a parent, or a teacher that'll question it. And their mindset always is that the unvaccinated kid, the kid that's supposedly not protected, right, is a threat to the bulletproof kid that you're stuck with.
Bullshit. It's the opposite.
I always say to myself, how does that work? You guys get the shield.
My kid is
supposedly the petri dish, and your kid is vulnerable to my kid? Wouldn't my kid be wide open to your numb kid?
Who's carrying the toxin?
Yeah, exactly.
The vaccinated kid, not yours.
Of course. He's pickled. He's pickled. He's a Merck manual. He's walking around. and he's playing kickball, my kid. I always thought, I should have the same policy for you. I don't want any vaccinated kid around my kid. But there's more of them than you, so that's why give me an exemption and let my kid go to school. And they've never been able to defeat that argument because it has no argument, just like vaccine science has no argument. Tamiflu, their big remedy for anyone that had swine flu last year, was completely fabricated. The research was made up. They couldn't find the data when they questioned them in UK last year. So everything about that side of Big Pharma is phony. And I always call it Big Phony, and that's why I call it CDC, the Center for Disease Cheerleading, because they're promoting nothing more or less than fear. And they can sell you the fear, like they did in Canada pretty well, because the government was like, we know better. Most people, because they don't want to go against the status quo, they don't want to be a troublemaker, they don't want to be singled out, they go along with it without questioning it. And there's no recourse. Like, if you're in a single-payer system like that, and sometimes people, like healthcare workers down in New York last year, the nurses refused to get it. Certain government workers, they're not allowed to go to work unless they get these shots. And even if it puts them at risk, and they've done it with, now they're spreading over into sexually transmitted diseases and they're becoming, like with this Gardasil stuff, to become part of that side of the coin. So now they've taken care of all the childhood diseases, and now the seasonal flu is going to be embedded with the H1N1 because they couldn't separate. Last year they gave you two choices, and people went, I don't know. And now they're going to put them together, which who knows what's going to happen with that. So they're just creating this big toxic stew, not because of trying to do their allopathic job. They're trying to do much more of they're being tire salesmen. So they're doing what they do. It's cold and flu season. We're going to sell all over-the-counter stuff, suppress the immune system with a bunch of, decongestants and stuff, and then we're going to stick them with this garbage bag and then watch them all fall apart. And then, the way they take it is that the stuff that happens around the world is not, it's not a big deal. Like, the woman I got that did a report for the Epoch Times, she interviewed these people, and she tried to reach the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and their press officer. And this is the quote. Four different manufacturers produced H1N1 vaccine in 2009, CSL Biotherapies, MedImmune, Sanofi, and Novartis. Over 120 to 25 million doses were ordered. I'm not aware of any reports of narcolepsy associated with the vaccine. Now, that's just an out-and-out lie, because it's all over the news. It's all over Australia. It's all over Finland. It's all over now. You know, other countries are starting to say, UK, they're starting to say, hey, this stuff is poisoning us. So rather than call a spade, so to speak, they just say, we haven't heard any reports. Now, if you're the Center for Disease Control, it'd be like the weather people. We haven't heard reports of any hurricanes. It's nice and sunny on the beach today. You know, it's like they're not tracking the storm. So as a chiropractor who has to get up every morning and go out in the world that is completely conditioned to chase symptoms, monger all that fear, and react to every little bit of news that says the bugs are coming, the bugs are coming, how do you get them to understand their innate potential without having to undo all that, you know, gobbledygook that's being poured into their brains every day?
You know, we have that conversation among us, like among us chiropractors, very often. One of my friends a few weeks back had needed some x-rays taken, and he showed up at my office when I was with a patient, and he was having this conversation with one of my patients, and he was saying, you know, it appears that, unfortunately, to most people, common sense will elude them. You will tell them something that is, you know, that has a 100% proof logic, and people will still not believe you because, oh, you're just a chiropractor. Yeah, you guys don't like medical doctors. It's. I have nothing against my medical doctors. My father is a medical doctor. I had health problems. I mean, if I crash in a car and my life is at stake, trust me, I will not call my chiropractic friends. You know, I get free chiropractic treatments. No, I will go to the hospital and I'll say, take care of my life because I'm dying here. It's just a question of common sense. These things are not necessarily necessary for me to be healthy. You know, a headache is not a lack of aspirin in your bloodstream. And people don't seem to realize that. You don't suffer from you're not deprived of aspirin when you have a headache. And unfortunately, vaccination strengthens the last immune system, like the last immune defense of your body. It's like if the United States would stop enrolling soldiers, making guns, and having only nuclear bombs, and would say, whenever there'll be a problem, we'll just press the red button. There you go. You know? It's all or nothing, just like a synapse. It'll be all or nothing. Well,
in 15 minutes, we've gotten a hockey joke against us, and now a military joke against us. That's pretty good. Wow.
I don't want to, you know, hurt anybody's feeling with talking about the army and everything.
Don't
you guys celebrated the end of Iraq yesterday, so.
Yeah, I'm with that, all this stuff. I think, like I said, we've gotten to the silly point because there is no logic behind it, and we're people that are looking at it objectively. And again, there's no doubt that chiropractors have an agenda. They're drugless healing art ways. There's an agenda to free people up to make their own decisions and question what the allopaths do, and maybe bring to attention their pediatrician that, you know, some of this stuff is not appropriate for their kid, but. How do we get there's not even a fair discussion. We're not allowed in the schools. We're not allowed in some of these venues that the information is being disseminated because we're giving a counter message. The only interactions we get are when they come to our offices, and there's not enough of us. There'll never be enough of us compared to every drugstore, every drug ad, you know, everything that's on the web that's promoting this other idea. So I just think in terms of of just numbers alone, we're really at a deficit to try to get this out. That's why.
Well, I can't speak for the United States, but in Quebec, there are 7 million people. There are 1,200 chiropractors and 16,000 medical doctors. Our market, as far as chiropractors go, is like $200 million, whereas medicine is like a $40 billion market. So, it's David and Goliath. I mean, we're not even talking about the same ballgame. But in the end, you know what? We have to see that people are happy to have people telling them that they have a vaccine that will prevent them from being sick. Because if you get a miracle, you know, medication, you de-responsibilize people. They don't have to be responsible anymore. Give me the shot, I don't have to do anything else, and I won't be sick. Chiropractic tells people that health is a above down, inside out, you know, philosophy, and it's the truth. It's, we're just spreading the truth. But it's, it also states that you are responsible for your own health. And the numbers and science, the latest research show that, you know, people, like, I found that my patients are really, really into health, seems to always say, oh, I really, really, I eat organic food and I'm really, really healthy. But what you eat is only 20% of your, you know, total health consequences. I mean, 20% of your health, 20% is your nutrition, 20% is going to be your genetics, as opposed to 80%, because people always walk in saying, oh, I don't have a chance, and I have to have headaches because my mother used to suffer from headaches. But really, in the end, I mean, the truth is 20% nutrition, 20% genetics, and 60% are your daily habits, your daily rituals. So the only one you should be blaming is yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror, and you're responsible. You're the hero of your story. If you're sick, it's because you're doing something wrong or you're not doing something right. Basically, otherwise, the life would be really unjust.
Maybe it is just a word game, but I always play it with clients because there's never been a consistent definition of health or disease because it's an allopathic map. They play both sides of the coin. You're never healthy enough, and you're never sick enough until you're dead. So I always say I'm vitalistic. I'm trying to promote life, and the other model is fatalistic. I'm vitalistic. They're fatalistic. So when you say, wow, what are they about? I said, pathology, which is leading to death. I'm trying to get to the origin of well-being. I'm trying to get to coherence. So my entire way of going about what I'm delivering to you is to say, yeah, you're going to die, but not today. You know?
Exactly.
And their mindset is, yeah, you're going to die, but maybe tomorrow. So they're always into this like mindset of something's wrong, something's defective, something's going to go batty with you, and we're going to prevent it. We're going to prevent these horrible flu symptoms, and we're going to stick you with this thing just in case. And just in case the 13-year-old girl is going to get, you know, the Gardasil vaccine for the HPV. Oh, just in case you contact the sexually transmitted disease from 13 on, you know, we're going to give you this shot. So the mindset is constantly about inevitabilities. It's fatalism. And if we just put that on them, that this is a fatalistic mentality. There's no choice. It's like getting in your car and you have no steering wheel. It just hits you hit the gas and boom. You can't turn. You can't make choices. You can't steer your own life. It's a complete, you know, passive way of going about it. And why would you do that in any respect? You wouldn't do that with your money. You wouldn't do that with your home. You definitely wouldn't do that with your kids' future. You're always trying to influence your kids. Why would you do that with your well-being? Why would you do that with your own vitality? Because what happens is that, as we've seen, addiction, aging, you know, premature disability, all the things that are going on, all the chronic conditions. I always tell them chronic means what? Over time, right? Didn't get here overnight. It got here over time. You basically didn't mow the lawn in the backyard, and this is what you get. So that's why, you know, I guess to wrap it up with you here, what's the one contradiction or the one misconception about what you do as an upper cervical chiropractor that makes you distinct from all the others? You're a weirdo. Always with the atlas, that you could say that people get from the outside in that are always afraid of, oh my God, the stroke talk and everything else. Meanwhile, they're putting bodies in the street every day, you know, on the medical side, by the way, and you're not killing people over there. Because I guarantee, if one person took a dirt nap outside your clinic, they'd be on you like Frankenstein with the villagers. But these
guys
killed two girls in India, and you know, a country went, that's it, we'll suspend the vaccines. But the United States says, well, you know, flu vaccine, we haven't seen any cases of narcolepsy, so on with the show. So what's the one misconception you can give the public about your work? Because not everybody's going to be able to make a distinction between chiropractor and upper cervical chiropractor. What's the one distinction you can make for them that they'll know?
Most definitely, there's nothing to fear about chiropractic. I mean, especially upper cervical. I mean, we're maniacs. We're extremists as far as like analyzing the condition of people, so that when we adjust people, I mean, it's absolutely the right thing to be done. And the whole stroke thing is, you have one chance in 5.7 million adjustments to stroke, and if those that are at risk would suffer the same risk from sneezing or backing up their car. So it's not the adjustment that is actually causing the stroke. It's actually the person that's already at risk. Just like, you know, somebody, you know, having a bad reaction to any, like, vaccination, for instance. So basically, there's nothing to fear about, you know, getting adjusted. I mean, what I would fear most definitely is, can you imagine how, I mean, I don't want to scare people, but, I mean, I've seen results in my practice. They go way beyond what they taught me in school. And I'm like, can you imagine? Look at what this, you know how sick people walk in my practice, and look how they walk out. You know, can you imagine what it can do to a healthy person? Because prevention is the key. That is the ultimate answer to everything. Prevention is key. When I do a report of finding, I always tell them, listen, before we start, you have to know something. It will always be easier for me to help you maintain your God-given potential, your optimal health, than to correct a problem. Changing the oil in your engine is always much easier than changing the engine itself.
And I guess it's another word thing with me, because prevention is their word. It's like defense, and I'm more on offense. So I'd rather promote health than prevent disease, because the idea of preventing disease puts in their head that it's inevitable I'm going to get a disease, so I better do something to prevent it, rather than promote my health and be able to get the most out of my potential by doing the behaviors that you're talking about here, by being responsible, by being proactive.
Absolutely, proactive.
Yeah, and by being in the driver's seat in terms of your vitality, rather than being a passenger, or worse yet, being stuck in the trunk, what happens
absolutely
with a lot of these kids. And the thing is, I don't know if in our generation we'll see a big shift in it, but what we're starting to see is a crack in the armor because of social media, because of things like this. So, you know, for someone up in Canada to jump on the show tonight, the only reason we know each other is because of social media. So thanks for connecting with me here on the show. And again, anything we could do to keep the conversation going online between our respective practices, I'd be more than happy to share more information with you, because I think the barrier, or whatever, the sort of the invisible wall between the socialized evil medicine of Canada and this, whatever the gobbledygook we have down here in the States, needs to be torn down. And if we can help that out here in summertime, I'm all for it, because I think you Canadian chiropractors are absolutely gutsy to go out there every day in a system that's so regulated and so fixed on promoting, you know, the allopathic agenda, that I, you know, my hat's off to you. And you know, I'm a little bit still mad at Crosby for that goal in the Olympics, but I'll get over it. lucky damn goal.
Well, you guys can practice for the next 4 years, and we'll see you then.
That's right. Yeah, we'll come back. I know we're the redheaded stepchildren when it comes to hockey. We're not allowed to win. You're not allowed to win in baseball or anything else. So,
try curling. Curling would be good for you guys.
Hockey's our. There's a lot of money in curling somewhere, betting on it. But yeah, you guys have to fix your football fields first. Then we can talk.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Spend some time with us here, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good flu season up there.
You bet.
Take care now.
Okay, ciao.
All right, Nicholas Dupuis. I got the pronunciation right for once. Let me go back. I've been fishing around on this this dopey Alex Jones site, because he had a bunch of videos on here about the vaccine stuff that I wanted to see if I can riff on here, because we wind around the world. And the Mets have, again, 0-3 in Atlanta now. A 4-1, basically, they have narcolepsy at this point. Dopey Mets. They gave up 4 runs the first 2 innings, and the bats went to sleep. So let's see if I can find it. There was a bunch of stuff on here the other day about the cover-up about the vaccines, which I absolutely just, you know, it's like it's one of those things where you can't hear it enough about how embedded the government is in basically ravaging your health. And it just seems like it never ends. So let's see. InfoWars, fight the New World Order. I'm going to fight the New World Order tonight. Let's see. And we'll go back. Just trying to flip around while I was doing that before. U.S. News. There's just so much, like I said, there's so much about this that just never gets the light of day. And when it does, the person's treated like a wacko. Because, of course, vaccines can't be wrong. Yeah, they are. They're completely wrong. The science is wrong. The results are wrong. And it's despite them that our immune systems are able to overcome all this stuff and carry all that miasmic noise to the next generation. Again, the science of epigenetics would say that anything that I have to adapt to, and I adapt to poorly, is going to come out the next cycle, the next generation. So all we're doing is just pushing it on, just like we do with debt and everything else, to the next generation. and you see these kids coming out weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, and then they can't handle it. Rubella, umbrella, all that stuff. Kiss my ass with that stuff. Enough, you know. For that, you get another.
You filthy criminies.
Yeah. So let's see if I can find it over on the wonderful and talented YouTube channel. But I just like that Sam Kinison voice, you know, warning us about the allopathic monster. And there's just been so much in the last maybe week, 10 days. It always happens around now, around this time of the year, because, you know, with the no shots, no school, it's tied completely in to what we're doing here. And they see it coming. And it becomes a political issue every time. You know, and if you voice some type of dissenting opinion about the great allopathic model of health, which is the third leading cause of death. Say it again! They are the third leading cause of death. And natural means of taking care of yourself is slightly more risky than being hit by a meteorite, and it's about twice as risky as a bee sting. Okay, there you go. And let's see. Looks like it's about a tenth as likely as getting hit by lightning. So, there you go. So we'll keep avoiding the natural stuff and keep taking your drugs and everything else. Boy, this is nuts. You know, these guys, these information guys, they make me, they wear me out. They absolutely wear me out. Let's see if I can find anything. Alex Jones. Swine flu, I'll go that way. Let's see. It's got a lot going on here. Let's see. Vaccine death cover-up. We did that. There was another one on there, though. What's that dude's name from the Poison Planet? He's a comedian. I found out that the guy's a comedian. And he's funny, but he's a comedian. I'm going to get to, I have the friend here, Stephanie Lamb, here in a second. But let's see if we go this way. Because what's happened to me in the last year or so as I've watched this unfold is that, again, getting back to the original concept that we're in future shock and that the people that are putting out these experiences have already kind of seasoned the market to not react, to poo-poo it, to not make a big deal about it, to go along, because why oppose something that's inevitable? We're just going down that planet. We're going down that road anyway here. We're down that planet. All right, let's see. This is it. Prison Planet. That led to a bunch of other stuff. Okay, here's that. All the way down here. Prison Planet TV. Oh, okay. There's just a lot of stuff on here about this. Yeah, there it is. Paul Joseph Wilson. That Paul Joseph Watson. Okay. So that's what I wanted to see, because there was a bunch of videos with him talking to Alex about it. There's India. Oh, okay, let's just take a look at this, because this is a story from today. The eugenicist gunman exposes dark side of environmentalistic cult. All right, now, this happened this afternoon. Boy, another exo. Boy, crazed gunman. There's always a crazed gunman somewhere in the Atlantic states. Went to the Discovery Channel building in Silver Spring, Maryland today with explosives, posted an online manifesto revealing his views on the parasitic human infants should be eliminated and humans sterilized, providing a shocking insight to the dark side of environmentalistic cult seeks to enact draconian eugenicist policies in the name of saving the planet. The gunman, named in reports as James J. Lee, ran a website called Save the Planet Protest. The site organized protests surrounded around the very building that Lee stormed today, including a screed detailing of Lee saw the birth of newborn babies as a plague on the planet. In a chilling echo, how many top environmentalists are now demonizing humanity itself? It's like the virus scene in The Matrix. So he went through this environmentalist awakening as he watched Al Gore in An Inconvenient Truth. Tremendous. Wow, we're really losing it, man. We're really losing it. I don't know what to say. Let me see that. I mean, it's there's a lot of warped, incoherent lives out there right now, and it's only going to get more intense as the conditions continue to do this, and we're just kind of pushed around. We're completely pushed around about it. Let me see if I can find it this way, because there's so much going on about it. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll throw this Paul Joseph Watson dude, and I'll see you and raise you a YouTube. Let me go back to YouTube. I can't go that way. So I'll go this way. Because he had a conversation on about this this Paul Joseph Watson, who's, like I said, his background says on Wikipedia, he's a Canadian comedian. Right, that's 11 months ago, that's 7 months ago, that's a year ago. That ain't any good. Ooh, one day ago. Here we go. All right. All right. See if this is the one I wanted. Okay, so a little more Alex.
You are listening to the Alex Jones Show.
I just like this guy. I don't know. It's just that voice. Then we'll get into some. I don't know how long that's going to play, but. How many of this does it sound like Keith Sam Kennedy?
The level and sophistication of evil really gets to me. And the hypocrisy to know that Hispanic groups, particularly in the United States, are partnered with the drug cartels and partnered with the coyotes. I constantly see city officials all over the Southwest involved in the coyote and drug trafficking, literally helping to rob the Latin American, Central South American immigrants that are coming in.
Wrong clip. It says he's going to get the whip. It's taking forever, which might be better.
So now because people are refusing to take it in more and more numbers, they're just going to do it without consent by putting it in our food and water.
No, it's just like drones. It's just like being tracked by the cell phones. It's just like the news going, yeah, all school children will wear RFID tags embedded in their clothes, and it's meant to track. 10, 11 years ago, I'd tell folks it was meant to track everybody because I had the Pentagon's own declassified documents to get laughed at. Now it's out in the open, and we've got a fluoride head population here in Europe and the United States who loves it. They love being poisoned. They love death. And so, you know, I guess these parents just enjoy it, Paul.
But there's a good percentage that are waking up to it and resisting it, which is why they're trying to take over the internet, which segues into the other article that I wrote today about this, quote, independent think tank. If you look into it, really, it's a PR firm for the government called Demos, and they put out a report saying that the government needs to infiltrate conspiracy websites because they need to restore trust in the government. Now, you know, why do people distrust the government? Because they've been caught habitually lying about everything under the sun.
And we've got, and that's the same thing Cass Sunstein talks about, and we've got the infiltration of the churches, the corporations with InfraGuard, the top secret USA spies, your own private spy groups, and now we should trust them infiltrating us, Paul, because that's not creepy to have a government infiltrating.
No, it's not illegal at all. I mean, COINTELPRO, that was perfectly above board, wasn't it? But this was put out by Demos, which was founded by Marxists in 1993. It originated out of a Marxist media publication. Some of these individuals then went on to become part of Tony Blair's government in 1997. And now the new conservative British Prime Minister David Cameron is meeting with Demos, running projects with Demos, these admitted Marxists, who are now saying that the government needs to infiltrate conspiracy websites like ours to, you know, restore trust in the government. To restore trust in the government, how about having the government tell us the truth once in a while?
Now, let's notice you're flip-flopped in England with the exact same system. You had the, quote, liberal Gordon Brown after 14 years of Blair and then Brown. So you were given the Bilderberg Group fake conservative who accelerates carbon taxes, pre-crime cameras, CPS grabbing your children, cameras going in homes of people that have had newborn children, worse than 1984. He's hooked in with Common Purpose, all these globalist organizations, so he's the right-wing savior from the liberal tyranny. Now we have Obama, the left-wing savior from the right-wing tyranny, and now we're going to get our right-wing savior right about the time you get your next left-wing savior. Sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. I mean, that's the trick they tried to pull. The problem with it is that Cameron didn't even get, you know, a majority vote, which is why they had to have this stupid Punch and Judy show with Clegg and this coalition government. But yeah, Cameron's meeting with Demos just as Blair did before him. And the woman who sits on the advisory board of Demos is also the executive director of Common Purpose, the group you just mentioned, which, as Brian Gerrish has exposed at cpexposed.com, is this insidious network of individuals who have penetrated the British government to advance Britain towards this new world order. And these are the people saying that we need to, quote, modify our notion of freedom because freedom is misused and abused by terrorists.
Yeah, and that's the key to all they do. They always say, we're going to redefine society, and we do the defining. And so you being injected with something that brain damages you, we call that a cognitive enhancer. Mercury, brain damaging, is what we want. That's an enhancement. See, it's all lawyer speak. And they're just assaulting us. They're a pack of criminals using flim-flam on us. And separately, we've got Kurt Nemo's article here. Justice Department, Obama's Justice Department, puts out master patriot hit list, not just saying that you're an extremist if you like Ron Paul and the Second Amendment, but you're a criminal terrorist, Paul. Now, see, they're the terrorists, clearly. People coming in and saying our freedom and our liberty is terrorism, they're the terrorists, Paul.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this is precisely what this UK report says. It says that people who put out conspiracy theories, that is any viewpoint that disagrees with this lying government, is not only an extremist, but also a recruiter and an enabler of terrorists. So now if you disagree with the government who carried out 7-7 and say that, you know, show all this evidence that they were involved, then that makes you the terrorist.
Well done. Stay with us.
All right, there you go. A little Sam Kinison, I mean, Alex Jones, hanging out with us here on Summertime. We have a little Alex mad tonight. So I want to wrap up with the email I got back from Stephanie Lamb from the Epoch Times, who covered this this story in the in Finland, and basically, you know, she went back and forth about, you know, why the European medical agency over there, you know, especially she got some information from Dr. Jane Alquist Rastad of Sweden's Medical Products Agency. And about the background about the vaccine and some other things, so I'll post those links on the archive here, so you guys take a look at that if you want, a couple of PDFs if you're interested in that. What she says here in the emails to me, she says what's worth taking note of, in my opinion, is that fatigue is listed as one of the most common side effects of the vaccine, and that prior to the release of the vaccine, all age groups but 3 to 18 were tested. And it seems that the age group that is developing narcolepsy after the vaccine, and she hasn't found a direct statement of that so far, but in total there are only 12 cases reported, and it was reported in a group of children aged 12 to 16 who developed symptoms, and they're the focus of the Swedish physicians who are investigating the link between the vaccine and narcolepsy. And again, she tried to reach the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in the United States. I call it the Center for Disease Cheerleading. And their press officer said this. Four different manufacturers produced the H1N1, CSL Biotherapies, MedImmune, Sanofi, and Novartis. Over 125 million doses were ordered. I'm not aware of any reports of narcolepsy. So you have basically just a short flight over to Sweden. We got 12 cases. But over here in Atlanta, for the bastards beat the Mets 4-1 again, they got nothing. Nothing.
And this is after a year of them completely botching and failing the entire H1N1 campaign, where they had us all shaking in our boots on the swine fear.
Let's see if I still have that on the thing. I feel like playing it, because I'm gonna need to put it back on here in order to get to the fall here. I don't think it's on here, though. No. I got to go fish it out again. My little Porky Pig thing. So I'll give you, let's see, something equivalent to their crap. There you go.
What the fuck was he talking about?
That's right. Amazing. I just, like I said, you sit here and you watch the world go by. So you know, a report here and what we heard, from Alex's show and the stuff we saw on naturalnews.com. is that it's becoming very clear over and over again that the system, both government and healthcare and education and big pharma, are not after your health. They're after your money and your life. They want you completely and totally dependent on them for all sources of truth and justice. And if you even so much as color outside the lines, like Alex is saying, you're label tagged and basically the agenda is you're a terrorist because you're causing people to question the status quo. Now, are there real, you know, infidel, you know, jihadists, all that stuff, all the real, you know, all the crazy stuff? I'm sure, but they're not doing this. They're not sticking vaccines into mosquitoes and breeding them. I don't think so. Not happening. So, you know, I'm a little bit kind of, I'd rather talk about the Mets. Tell you the truth. But when I see this, and you see the pettiness that goes on around us, that they'll go crazy against anybody who's doing something holistic and benign and information-oriented. They've threatened me. They've come on the chat room here and said stupid things to me. Like, you better watch yourself. You have to be accurate. These shows are transcribed. I'm like, I don't care. I challenge you right now. Let's see. I will now play a little, let's see. Let's see if I can give a proper, I don't have any scary music here, but maybe this one. Just a little, that's a little too loud. Take it down to 25%. Here we go. Okay, so yeah, comfortably numb. I now challenge anybody from the center. Let's see if I can get her name here. Do I have a name? Don't give me your name. They just say that the press officer. So if the press officer for the Center for Disease Control and Prevention of the United States would like to come on this show, I will give them an hour. At any point, we have just unlimited space up here. I can just plug it in. 1 hour to explain their position on what has become the global reaction to this lousy, rotten, stupid, useless vaccine called H1N1 that has been completely exposed as the fraud that it is, to come on here and tell me about, you know, what's going on, baby, down in Atlanta. I will absolutely entertain and be completely objective. I'll just sit here with my facts, and you could sit down there in Atlanta with yours, and we'll let the listeners decide if they should question their authority, or at least make their authority accountable to the same degree and extent that you'd make me accountable. That's all. That's all I'm asking. Okay. All right. So to wrap it up tonight, I have a shout-out for two groups. One is the group that I am championing to meet with me and your brethren and your like-mindedness in the hallways and byways over at the University of Bridgeport Chiropractic College on October 2nd and 3rd for the first and maybe only Coherence Conference. Now, put out a bunch of emails, invited about 25 or 30 of you guys, experts from all fields, all walks of life, and I've gotten one chronic response. I'm busy. I can't make it that day. You know what? Fooey. I don't care. If you can't go, find somebody else who can represent your ideas. Find a neighbor who lives in, who has a relative who lives near Bridgeport and send them.
write down what you'd like me to say. I just want to know four things. What is coherence? How do you use it? How does how you use it affect your field? And how does it affect the fields around you? You give me that, and I will give you a viral, I said viral, spreading of that idea through the Health 2.0 blogosphere that is ripe for the picking. It is like discovering another continent. We have an opportunity, a very small window here. We've got an election in November. We've got healthcare policies that go into effect at the end of December. And then we're going to have a free for freaking all starting in January. Now, if you want to sit back and play sheepy and play, I'm busy, can't make it, I'm so hectic, I'm so busy. Well, screw you then. You're not helping me, you're hurting me, all right? As much as I love your work and I love all the good things you do in the world, Dan Siegel, fraud. You're a fraud. I called you a fraud. You couldn't even get on the phone with me, you homo. That's right. I challenge you and the CDC to a death match right now. Mr. Interpersonal Neurobiology, you're doing nothing to help me. You're promoting yourself. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. But don't come across as you're being brave in the face of all the, you know, counter-programming that's going on around you. When someone that's on your side is trying to get your idea to sit in a room with other ideas and put it together and put it out for people to disseminate and do what they will with it, you've made enough money. You're famous enough. I'm not famous. I'm not even famous in my own room. I'm just trying to get people to make better decisions because I'm tired of fishing them all out of the damn river. And you guys have the life preservers. So I need you to show up one way, shape, or form. Like I said, if you can't get there, tie your message to a rock and chuck it to Connecticut so we can put it on the DVD taping. So that's my first rant. My second rant is to the Health 2.0 bloggers. I love you. I love you guys. You're beautiful and beautiful and beautiful. Let's see if I can have some for you. They're comfortably numb for them, because that's what they are. They're comfortably numb. Let's see. Oh, here's one. And you know somebody who has a Health 2.0 blog that's talking about all these changes, that's trying to drive consumer-driven healthcare, that understands that the future of the entire planet depends on getting quality information to a quantity of people. Right now, as we talked about with our guest, Nicholas Dupuy, we have just foot soldiers. We don't have a scintilla of a chance to outcompete the allopathic machine on a government level, on a political level, on a numbers level on the ground. All we have is the power of the mouse to spread things so that enough people, like what happened last year with H1N1, enough people got on there and said, hey, don't do it. It's poison. And people turned away, and they only got 29 million of us to line up and get shot. They wanted 100 million. They said 90 million were going to die. Now, that's like forecasting that Hurricane Earl is going to take out the entire eastern seaboard and we get, you know, 3 inches of rain. You know, it's amazing how they're not accountable for what they do, but I can't help that. I'm trying to talk to you Health 2.0 bloggers right now. I want you to get mad. I want you to go to your keyboards, and I want you to get mad. And I want you to say, enough with your crap, Big Pharma. Enough with your pressure, Mr. Government. Enough with the insurance and all the other games. Now, you're never going to fix the hospitals. You're never going to fix the way that they deal with Medicare and all that other crap. That is a done deal. Bump, bump, done deal. But the rest of it, the way we take care of our kids, the way we live our lifestyles, the way we govern ourselves, it's wide open. Now, if we use coherence as our big elephant to ride us out of this jungle, everybody gets on board because coherence shows up in every aspect of your life, whether it's how you get educated, how you heal, how you pray, how you commune. It's all in the cocoa. So if you want to get on board with that, go to somaspace.org. Right there at the top, there's a link for the COCO conference. I Want Health 2.0 bloggers and mass to show up there and twit and tweet to your heart's content. Get these ideas out to your people. Get people discussing this thing, because I'm going to rant and rave on this dopey radio show for the next 4 weeks until I shake the trees and find a couple of you people out there brave enough to show up. Not like these chicken PhDs who give me excuses. And I'll continue to ask my friends, and then I'm off on asking their enemies if they want to show up. I need people to show up. I am one dopey voice in the wilderness, and I can get pretty loud, waving my arms here on a side street in Larchmont, but who the hell am I? But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. We got Peter D'Adamo coming down the pike. Mr. Blood Type, he's had the full wrath of the allopathic machine against him. He's pedaling down, right? We got Irving Dardick, medical maverick, took away his damn license because he was using exercise to help people with degenerative conditions. He's showing up. The heart mass people said they're going to send me somebody. I'm talking to Peter Gaskew tomorrow, big old Marine, helping people with chronic pain without drugs, doing his Gaskew method. He might actually fly here from friggin' San Diego. So we need people. We don't need a lot. 15, 20 of you would be fine. The more the merrier. And we got people doing electronic stuff that are stuck in Europe and whatnot. We'll get those in there, too. But we're going to make this big, honking, eight-hour monstrosity of information that's going to hopefully save a couple of you from being sheep. All right? Rant over. Bastards.
You filthy criminies.
And we're heading into an XO week, so I'm getting my suspicious part going around, I guess. But I guess we'll close the show with a little Sam Kinison himself taking us out. Dear departed Sam. Now tell me this doesn't sound like Info War Boy. Alex Jones. It's kind of funny. Let's see. Talking about rock against drugs. Just to close us out here on a Wednesday night. Have a great eco night. We'll see you here next Wednesday at 9. This is Dr. Mark. Thank you for this time and your space. Be yourself and be well. All right, let's see what we got here. Sounds like crap, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
There we go. I want to thank my guest, indirectly, Alex Jones, and Dr. Nicholas Dupuy from Montreal, despite the hockey reference. As will Sam take us out.
Well, I see the party started a little early at some of your places, too, huh? You're doing the right thing. Fuck it, man. It's Thursday night. We're about to make it Saturday fucking night.
Wednesday night, Sam, but you're dead.
I'm going to work tomorrow. Fuck it!
Enjoy Hurricane Earl, everybody on the East Coast, by the way. Buckle up.
11 o'clock noon, wrecked. Your hair fucked up. Your nose bleeding. Just look at him and go, oh, what do you expect? I was with him! Such a moral push, isn't there, in this country? To try and get us to behave. Don't fucking drink and drive. God, they have made such a big fucking deal about this, haven't they? It didn't used to be such a big fucking deal. You had a few drinks, you drove home. Now you're a dick, you know? Now you're a fucking asshole. Child killer, child killer! Attendant manslaughter, attendant manslaughter! You know, like you're going out to your car to go, boy, I sure hope I slide into a family of sex tonight! Woo! I bet you I can pass out before I make the stoplight! Yeah, that's not your fucking attitude. You're doing your best. You know, don't drink and fucking drive. Shit, we don't want to. I mean, you don't get fucked up so you can see how well you do on the test later, you know? But there's no other way to get our fucking car back to the house! How are we supposed to get fucking home, man? We've got to drink and drive. They don't want to accept it. They don't fucking want to accept it. Like, we're all going to ride the bus. Give me a fucking bus pass, all right? Bus pass, please, huh? We're not going to ride the bus. We're going to fucking drink, and we're going to drive, and we're going to pull it off. Because most of us do it every single fucking night. I drink, folks. I won't lie to you. I wait till everything's done, and then I blow my fucking brains out. I drink. I mean, you know, if you're going to drink once in a while, you got to fucking drink. You just get... No. Now, every once in a while, you got to think about the women that broke your heart and go, oh, make that two fans on Jack Daniels! Yeah, every once in a while, you just got to go, oh. I know, everybody's like trying to be straight now. Doesn't that piss you off, these fucking rock and roll pussies? Yeah, I watch MTV all the time. They have the rock against drug commercials, that whole campaign. These guys have, like, you know, slid into fucking school buses and killed 20 children. You know. Rather than the facial license, they made a public service announcement. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. I love these guys. Hello. Listen, don't get caught with drugs or you'll have to do a commercial just like this one. I think I found the message. The message is don't get caught. Rock against drugs. What a fucking name. Somebody was high when they came up with this title, yeah. It's like Christians against Christ. Rock created drugs. What are they talking about? They go together, folks. Yeah, I'm not a good role model for impressionable youth. Can't believe it. A guy opens his show with drink and drive. Two drugs.
Spiral on, Sapiens.